It is a total mess at the moment. I woke up this morning to a one-word text from someone who would know what's going on, and he just said, this is pitiful. I covered the 81 strike. I covered 94, 95. It was terrible. But this, in its own way, is worse.
That was ESPN's Tim Kirkjian, summing up how pretty much everyone in and around baseball feels these days. Last week, it seemed like the sport was on the verge of coming back, but after another rejected proposal and a delayed vote, the wait for MLB's return continues. Today, MLB insider Jeff Passan joins the show to break down why the two sides are still so far apart and whether that gap can be bridged before it's too late. I'm Mina Kimes. It's Monday, June 22nd. This is ESPN Daily, presented by Marathon. Jeff, happy Father's Day. Did Major League Baseball get you everything you wanted?
No.
Jeff Passan is an MLB insider for ESPN.
Now, Major League Baseball pretty much didn't get me anything I wanted. I wanted a Father's Day on a beautiful lake in Wisconsin where I could leave my phone inside. And instead, Father's Day gave me time on a beautiful lake in Wisconsin, spent inside, sitting and staring at my phone, waiting for a call that never came.
So let's talk a little about what happened or what didn't happen this weekend. Last week, Commissioner Rob Manfred met with the head of the players' union, Tony Clark. Seemed like things were on the right track. MLB offered a 60-game proposal with, importantly, full prorated pay. Then what happened?
Well, when Rob Manfred flew out to see Tony Clark in the Phoenix area, the whole idea was, okay, we've been screwing around in burning daylight for 2 months now. Let's actually get a deal done. And they met for about 4 hours. And when Rob Manfred left, he thought there was the framework of a deal in place. You know, maybe there are tweaks here or things there that we can change. Tony Clark said, I don't know if the players are going to accept 60 games, but, you know, I'll take it back to them and see. What ended up coming back was a counter from the Players Association that wasn't just for more games, but it also included twice as much money, $50 million in postseason bonuses for players who are involved. It also included, and this is quite important, half of the new television revenue in the 2021 season for the expanded playoffs to which the players would have agreed to under this agreement. That did not go over well inside of Major League Baseball. And it almost was reminiscent of this March 26th agreement, or as I've been calling it, the March 26th disagreement, because they cannot seem to agree on what this document they agreed upon actually says, in which Major League Baseball and the players come to some sort of consensus and then fight over what that consensus is. And it is at the heart of this entire dispute. There is great distrust between the sides. And that really is at the heart of why baseball is not back, which is ridiculous and petty and wrong, but is the reality in which we live, Mina.
So what happened this weekend?
Well, this weekend, COVID happened. And listen, there was always the realization amid all of this that coronavirus was going to play a role in it. But for it to come at this particular time when it seemed like the negotiations on the finances and the return to play aspect were wrapping up was really a cherry on top of this awful fetid Sunday. You know, when dozens of players, employees, team personnel are testing positive at once, when there are eight people in Philadelphia Phillies camp, and when there's one person in Blue Jays camp who had been interacting with the Phillies, and when there are these small little pockets of people who are testing positive in different places across the country, and when Major League Baseball needs to get rid of all of its Florida and Arizona plans that teams had to hold their spring training and say, no, you know, we're actually going to go back in the home cities if we do this. And when the home cities have been sort of a dubious element of this entire thing in the first place because they aren't contained, it just showed the frailty of this entire plan.
It feels like an action movie where the hero, and I don't know who the hero is in this case, kind of wasted all of his time fighting the wrong guy while Big Bad's been lurking the entire movie, and they just didn't care.
Yeah, I feel like the hero right now, Mina.
Jeff, you're my hero for doing this podcast on a Sunday night from your hotel room. Well, let's get back to the vote. What is the state of play?
Well, the plan, Mina, is for the players to vote on this notion of a 60-game season that includes them giving up expanded playoffs, that includes them receiving designated hitter, that includes MLB putting patches with advertisements on the uniform, all the little ancillary things, taking that vote on Monday. And Rob Manfred on Sunday afternoon sent a letter to Tony Clark, sent him an email that said, I know that there is some fear among your players that you're giving up something for 2021 that is valuable in the expanded playoffs that you may be giving up for a season that because of COVID may not happen. If that is your fear, if we don't play the full schedule that is implemented in 2020, then the expanded playoffs for 2021 go away and the universal designated hitter for 2021 goes away. And it felt like an olive branch, actually. But of course, that also comes against the backdrop of months of negotiations where the players felt like the league didn't give them anything. And we're at this point now where, in the absence of a negotiated agreement, Rob Manfred's going to set a schedule. Some people think it's going to be 54 games. Others think he might actually set it for 60. But it's not going to have expanded playoffs, and players are going to be angry. And so when it comes to wearing microphones during games, nope. When it comes to helping out and promoting the game, nope. When it comes to all these things that seemingly would make baseball a more popular or at least more enjoyable or certainly more accessible game going forward, the players are going to say no to that.
Just wear the mics. Come on. It's so great. Like, it feels very obvious.
It's fantastic. And we saw it during spring training. Imagine wearing mics in an empty stadium. How cool would that be that you can actually hear it super clear, and maybe even the people on the other team can hear it and they get kind of angry because, like, I love the idea. Ooh, love it.
I like that. Rob Manfred's letter also said, quote, I believe we are fighting over an impossibility on games, taking into account the actual calendar. Jeff, what are the limitations because of the passage of time and what MLB has said about playing in October and beyond?
As intransigent as the players were, and reasonably so, on their fully prorated salaries, Major League Baseball has not budged off of an end date for the season of September 27th. Now, there are two reasons for this. Number one, there is the fear of a second wave of the coronavirus coming right around then. And you saw Anthony Fauci talking to the Los Angeles Times earlier this week and saying, I'd be worried about baseball playing in October. They should get the season over as soon as possible. It echoes the sentiment of Ali Khan, who's the epidemiologist and expert for Major League Baseball, who's been advising them for months now. Number two, though, and this is an element that's every bit as important, television networks do not want Major League Baseball games to bleed into November. They don't want to go up against the election. They don't want to go up against the NFL. They don't want to go up against college football. Already, there's going to be crossover with the NBA playoffs and specifically the NBA finals. We're going to get a real sense of the pecking order of baseball versus the NBA.
Jeff, you mentioned that this latest delay can be attributed in part to concerns about the actual virus. But what are you hearing from players and their worries about, you know, the positive tests and what might actually happen if they do report?
I have to be honest, I don't hear a lot from players with regards to that. I think they're much more concerned with the labor stuff. And granted, I speak with a finite amount of players. I just, you know, I don't get a huge sense of coronavirus fear from baseball players. But I also think, Mina, that Major League Baseball's operations manual, which, you know, at last check was 67 pages, I'm sure it's bigger now, that outlines how the league plans to deal with coronavirus, actually is pretty thorough. Now, that operations manual was not being used at facilities where some of the coronavirus outbreaks happened, which is why those facilities are now being shut down. And everyone's like, okay, we're close enough to the end here on the labor stuff that we probably should start taking the coronavirus elements of this as seriously as we should have from the beginning, too.
So no spitting. It's really going to happen. Everyone zeroed in on the spitting. I don't blame them.
Are they really going to fine guys for spitting?
All right, after the break, let's talk a little bit about how we got here and the toxicity that's been brewing between the leagues and players for a while.
We're presented by Marathon. Now, more than ever, we have to look out for each other and count on each other. And Marathon wants you to know that you can count on them for high-quality, top-tier gas. While we are aware travel might not be top of mind, there might be times where you have to hop in the car to run an errand. Maybe you have to drop off groceries and supplies to your family. Maybe you've become an amazing baker and want to drop off a few dozen cookies on your best friend's porch. Or maybe you just want to drive around to all of your friends' homes simply to wave from a safe distance. But before you head out, remember to fuel up at Marathon. Marathon gasolines are formulated with STP additives. They keep your vehicle running at peak performance by optimizing fuel economy, removing those ugly deposit buildups, and reducing emissions. Remember, wherever you need to go, the people at Marathon are behind you all the way. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
So Jeff, this tug of war has been going on for months, but it does feel like it's accelerated a lot over the last weeks. What precipitated that acceleration?
I almost have lost track of time at this point, Mina. But let's go back to the beginning, because I think that's a very important place to be. And by the beginning, I mean back in 2016, when the last collective bargaining agreement was negotiated between the sides.
Baseball owners and players have signed a new five-year labor contract with changes that owners hope will increase competitive balance. Both parties made the announcement together just this afternoon.
And at that time, like I remember writing the day that the collective bargaining agreement was agreed to, that this is going to precipitate a labor war. The players got absolutely raked over the coals. And since then, there has just been this sense among players that we did so poorly last time. We have to stand up for ourselves. We have to fight for ourselves. You know, they brought in a new negotiator, Bruce Meyer. Tony Clark, the executive director, wanted to really make his mark. And Tony's going to stand up for us. And Tony's going to fight for us. And meanwhile, on the opposite side, you had Rob Manfred, the commissioner, and Dan Halem, the deputy commissioner, who have been the two power brokers at Major League Baseball over all this time, and have been lauded and applauded by the owners for making them tons of money and maintaining labor peace. Well, this moment right here was a powder keg for all of the wrong things. This was something that was completely out of the hands of the players and the league, and yet they ended up treating it like it was a collective bargaining agreement as opposed to having the sense to let's just figure out what works for both sides and get back onto the field as quickly and as we possibly can in a healthy fashion. And that ended up spiraling even worse when MLB thought that the Players Association was being disingenuous, and the Players Association thought that MLB was being greedy, and they really, like Mina, they really do not like each other. Like Rob Manfred and Dan Alam and Bruce Meyer and Tony Clark do not get along, to the point where subordinates on both sides said, we need to get them out of these negotiations, stick people who can actually get along in the room, and let them figure out how to end this stupidity. The players first coalesced around this idea of getting a full day's pay for a full day's work, like a classic union slogan. And MLB ultimately agreed to that, and so they moved to, you tell us when and you tell us where. And that thing like trended on Twitter and was the closest baseball has come to relevance in a long time. And so then the league said, all right, July 19th at the spring training sites. And so they were told when and where. And then they were like, well, when and where, but also we want more games. Just the ridiculousness of this entire thing. I wish I could better encapsulate it in a shorter and more concise fashion, but the easiest way to say it for me is none of this should have been happening, and all of it has happened.
You explained that a lot of the toxicity stems from the last CBA, and that, of course, another CBA is coming down the pike. Do you think this is going to cause a lot of problems for those upcoming negotiations?
Yeah, I think it has to. And I think that they could have been lessened if when the MLBPA went back to Major League Baseball following the Phoenix meeting and said, we want 70 games and we want that playoff money and we want that postseason television revenue. If MLB had just bit down hard and said, you know what, we'll meet you at 65 and we'll give you the $50 million in playoff money and we'll give you a quarter of the television money, there would have been a deal. But Major League Baseball and the owners in particular finally reached the point where they said, no more of this. Enough. They feel like that would have been rewarding bad behavior. Major League Baseball felt like if the union is going to act like this now, when it's not even a collective bargaining negotiation, what is it going to be like then? And are we really going to set the precedent where we allow them to act and behave like this? It does not bode well for the future. This thing has been ugly, Mina. This might just be the start.
Much has been made, Jeff, about how this has been a total public relations debacle for both sides and how demoralizing it's been for fans. And we've looked back at past strikes and how that's affected, you know, fandom and viewership. If baseball does come back this year, do you think fans will get over it? Will they just be happy to see the sport back? Or do you think that resentment will linger?
I don't know. And I'm sorry for the cop-out answer, but I feel like fans are different today. And maybe I'm giving fans more credit for being nuanced than they actually deserve. You know, maybe fandom really is as simple as you put this uniform in front of me, you put this player in front of me, and I'm going to forget all of the bad things that have happened that are related to it and just go root and just go escape. I also think that an expectation that the past is going to repeat itself has put baseball in this position where it is right now, where there's always been the thought that, hey, we're baseball. We're America's pastime. Of course people are going to stick around and watch us. And I don't know. I think there are a lot of people out there who are bothered by this.
So what happens next?
Maybe, finally, mercifully, we put the entire financial part of this to bed, and there's a season that's set. All I care is that there is a number that starts with a 5 or a 6 and that ends with games. And that is what the baseball world has to look forward to. Once that's set, we can actually focus on, you know, like the more important stuff. Like, how's this whole thing going to actually work? Like, what's it going to look like for a major sports league in America to try and get back to work outside of a bubble, no less? It is a logistical nightmare, Mina, a complete logistical nightmare. And if baseball can somehow manage its way through this season without having to shut things down, listen, I will give the league and the individual teams as much credit as I possibly can, because they have done nothing but screw up for 3 months with this figuring out the financial stuff. If they can turn around and get things right for 3 months, getting a season going and keeping it going, all the credit in the world for them.
Well, Jeff, thanks so much for joining us, and I hope you get to put your phone down soon.
Someday, Mina, but being your hero, that will never go away.
Oh, love a good callback. Coming up, with college sports returning, are college athletes safe? Here's another story I want you to know. Last week, it was reported that Ohio State University athletes returning to campus were being asked, or required actually, to sign something called the Buckeye Pledge, a document listing the various steps they'd have to take to protect themselves as they returned amidst the pandemic if they wanted to play. Now, this raised quite a few eyebrows and was widely interpreted as a waiver, though the school's athletic director, Gene Smith, insisted it was not a legal document, but more for, quote, educational purposes. It's unclear what's educational about having athletes sign something that says, I can never be completely shielded from all risk of illness caused by COVID-19 or other infections. But Ohio State isn't alone. Colleges like Iowa, Tennessee, and Indiana have all distributed similar documents, leading some to wonder, are athletes giving up their legal rights? According to a piece by Ross Dellinger for Sports Illustrated, that seems unlikely. Several experts told him the documents are probably unenforceable, but players will feel compelled to sign them nonetheless. And as more and more of them test positive when they return to school, which is a topic we will continue to discuss this week, it raises the question of not only whether college sports will happen at all, but whether the players' interests will be protected if they do. I'm Mina Kimes, and this has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.